Well, glory to God, we're back in again. You know, there's times when things discourage us and things knock us down and knock us out a little bit. And I guess I was going through one of those times a little while ago, driving my car towards Melbourne, and I was pretty close to Digger's Rest on the Calder Highway, and this song came on the CD that I was playing, and I just couldn't continue on driving. I had to pull over and just hear from God. And get my thoughts and my whole life out of my doldrums and into the positiveness of God's life poured out for me. He is my voice of hope, and I'd love you to hear this song right now. That's amazing. You know, God is always there for us. And, you know, Jesus did say, in this world you're going to have tribulation. You get knocked around a little bit, but he said, fear not, I have overcome the world. It's not a matter of how many times you get knocked down or how many times you get the wind taken out of your sails, but it's about how many times you get up and go again. And he is the Prince of Peace amidst all adversity. Amen. What an amazing God we serve. And you know, as children of God, we're often asked, or people pose this question, what is your purpose as a believer? What is your purpose as a son of God, a child of God? What is your purpose as a Christian? And you get a lot of different answers. Some people say, oh, it's to be like Jesus. Others say, oh, my purpose is to worship God. Other people say, well, it's to know him and to make him known. And that's a great slogan. We use that at church here as our mission and vision statement, to know Jesus and to make him known. Others say that it's to tell others about Jesus or to preach the gospel. And there are many, many more people have ideas of what their purpose is. But our vision statements or what we do are actually not our purpose. They are just our actions as children of God. Our purpose was given by God in Genesis, and we only have one main purpose for being on this planet. And that was what God said when he said, we will make man in our own image and let them have dominion. Whoa. He didn't say let them have religion. He didn't let them have all these things to do. He just said let them have dominion. He said be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue the earth, bring it into subjection. Wow, he knew it was going to be a problem place. And he said have dominion over things that creep on the earth. Well, we've got a situation at the moment where there's a creepy little virus running around that people say it sits on things and it sticks to things and it lives for 4 days on stainless steel and it does all these sorts of things. Well, that's creeping around, but we're to have dominion over that. He said over things that fly. Well, if people cough and sneeze and carry on, this thing's also supposed to fly. And if you keep your social distancing, you're not supposed to catch the things that fly. But we're to have dominion over that in Jesus' name. And then it says, and things that swim. Well, they tell me if it gets into your bloodstream, it swims around and creates all the all sorts of problems. Well, we're to have dominion over that in the name of Jesus. Not only that little virus, but also a lot of other things. But let's have a look at situations that Jesus found himself in. And in one particular example, I want to cover this. He was leaving a city one day and he was hungry. And he looked over and he saw a fig tree. And this fig tree was in full bloom. It was blooming over there on the hillside or wherever it was. And Jesus saw it and he went, man, I'm hungry. A fig would go down really well at the moment. Over he went to the fig tree and he got in under the leaves looking for sustenance, looking for something to satisfy his craving, looking for something to eat, looking for something to nourish him, and there was nothing there. Now, they do say in the scripture that it was not the time of figs, but Jesus, in his wisdom, said, let no man eat of you from henceforth forever. And he placed a curse on that fig tree. He gave it a command. Don't know about cursing it, but he did tell them it was not going to be fruitful ever again. Because it did not fulfill what he wanted it to fulfill. Anyway, they went away and they came back the following day. And Peter, I think it was, looked over and saw the fig tree. And he said, Jesus, look, behold, the fig tree is already withered. It's gone. And there's a real principle in this. It's an amazing principle. I don't know whether Jesus was unfair, but he was setting a standard. He was setting a principle for us to learn from. And that example was for us to understand. The Bible tells us that we're not to be seasonal. We are to bear fruit, and that our fruit should remain. We're not designed to go through summer and winter and spring and autumn in our Christian lives and our Christian walk. We are to be perpetually bearing fruit constantly that God has provided for us to show and share. It's rather interesting. I've traveled a little bit over in Europe and so forth, and I've seen some amazing church buildings. Some of them are so intricate and ornate in the way that they've been built. They're attractive. They draw a lot of attention to themselves. They show some amazing splendor. And to be honest, I love a lot of the designs. I love a lot of the architecture. And it really is awesome. It's just so incredible that they built those things in an era without cranes and without huge things that we have today to be able to build multi-story buildings. But some of the spires and these things, how they got them up there, I will never know in a day where they didn't have the automation that we have. But despite their ornateness and their attractiveness and the fact that they draw so much attention to themselves, the sad thing I found in these churches is that they are monumental sepulchres. Like Jesus sort of talked to the Pharisees, said, "You are whitewashed sepulchres full of dead men's bones." I find that some of these amazing buildings are a monument to a past glory of some sort. Some of them were probably built for the glory of God. Some of them were probably built to the glory of religion or a denomination. But they're monuments to a past or a history that no longer has a lot of life in it. Now, not all of them. I'm not criticizing everything, but the ones that I've seen, everybody is looking at them, taking photos, and I'm sorry, but the life of God had left the place if it was even actually there in the beginning. And I cringed at that. I cringed at the fact that these things were just so ornate, so attractive, but had no fruit. And if you put them in focus with that story of Jesus, they are actually fig trees showing off leaves, but have no sustenance. And I'm afraid that with that no sustenance, people are still looking for life. They're still looking for an answer. They're still looking for something to meet their needs. They're still looking for their fulfillment in life. And they're not getting it because there's no sustenance. There's no fruit under those attractive leaves. People are desperate for God. And their only provision would be in a living, vibrant, fulfilling church that is full of fruit, full of power, and full of God's life to impart to others. Some people turn around and say, "Oh, well, maybe it wasn't God's time for me, or maybe it wasn't God's time to meet my need in this situation. Maybe it wasn't God's will." Well, let me tell you something. God's will is not fickle. It's not subject to space and time. God lives outside of time. And if his will is for us to meet our needs and for us to be fulfilled and satisfied and to have every provision of God in our lives, the time is now. The Bible tells us now is the appointed time. Now is the day of salvation. We can never turn around and say, maybe it wasn't God's time. If you've got a need in your life, now is God's time. The minute you see the answer in God's word, there's a time for your need to be met. Amen? That's something we all have to get a reality of. The day of salvation is now. Salvation is not just being born again. Salvation is the Greek word soteria, which covers every aspect of God's provisions, healing, deliverance, being set free. Whatever the need is, he will meet it. Amen? And that's what soteria encompasses. The Bible tells us it's not our Father's will that any should perish or go hungry or go with our needs not met for that matter. And we need to ensure that we're a people that are bringing God's reality of his provision, his life, and his sustenance into this planet. We cannot afford to have fancy churches, to live fancy lives, to be fig trees without with just leaves but with no fruit. It's no point showing off. You can have the greatest buildings. You can have the greatest TV programs. You can have everything else. But if you're not meeting people's needs and not providing fruit for them to be nourished with, you're a fig tree with leaves and no fruit. That's a sad scenario. The Bible tells us we are who we are, not because of what we've done or not because of what we're doing, but because of what we have. When the apostles Peter and John found this crippled man at the gate, they didn't turn around and say, "Oh, we'll pray for God to heal you." They just said, "Such as we have, we will give you. In Jesus' name, rise and walk." There's an amazing principle there. They gave the life of God. They imparted his life into that situation. Believe it, receive it. He looked up with expectation and he rose and he walked. You know, when I was a young guy growing up in church, we used to sing a song. And it was a great song. We all loved it. We sung it many, many times. "There's a river of life flowing out from me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison's doors, sets the captives free. There's a river of life flowing out from me." And I look back now and I think we sung that with a lot of gusto. We sung that with a lot of meaning. We sung it with a lot of, you know, vibe in the church, and we cranked the music up. But it was a concept to us. There was no reality in that. There was no river of life setting anybody free. We had the understanding that there should have been. We had the understanding that it was possible, but we didn't have any idea of how to tap into it, of how to fulfill that particular song. Really, we sung it, but we didn't have it. And the sad part about that was probably a lot of people went hungry, seeing the leaves, but not finding any fruit below those leaves to fulfill their hunger and their needs. You know, unless we have a real revelation of the capacity of dominion that was provided by God, when he turned around, he said, "Let them have dominion," he meant for us to live a life that dictated the situations and the circumstances, not the circumstances dictating to us. If they're adverse to us, we come against them in the name of Jesus. So this is not the way God intends for my life to function and run. I rebuke that. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. You know, we can say to people, "Oh, you'll never be any good. You'll never amount to anything." Well, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus, because I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. I have a destiny of dominion in his name, and I will live my life the way God wants me to. There needs to be a river of life flowing out of us. There is no river of life that will impact other people, then there's a real problem. If it doesn't change their lives or bring God's life into whatever their situation is, that the need is imparted, how can people's needs be met if we're not carrying or managing or living out the mandate that God provided for us? Jesus said, "If you drink of the water that I shall give, it shall be in you a well springing up into everlasting life." That's not just for us. That life is what people need. That life is what we need to impart. That life is what we need to speak over situations. That life is what we need to speak over sicknesses. That life is what we need to speak over bondages. That life is what we need to speak over rejection. That life is what we need to speak into every situation that is adverse to us living a victorious life in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, "It will be in you a well springing up." He also said that out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And you know something? You can have a well in there and it'll nourish you and it'll bless you and it'll give you life. But unless it's springing up and ministering to others, it's still a fig tree with leaves and no sustenance, because nobody can partake of it. The fig tree was alive. It had its roots in the ground. It had its own nourishment. It had its own capacity to grow its leaves, but it wasn't imparting to others. You might have a well in you that is the life of God in there. You might be born again. You might be filled with the Spirit. But I tell you what, unless it's springing up into everlasting life and ministering to other people, you're a fig tree with leaves and no sustenance. That's sad. That's sad. You're keeping it to yourself. It's there to impart to others. A river that's flowing out of us. So Jesus said it shall be in you, a river springing and flowing out of your innermost being, rivers of living water. Wow, a river wets and waters and nourishes and provides for the land that it's in. If we're to be like that, we can't be just like a fig tree on a hill, sprouting and showing off our leaves with no sustenance. We've got to start pouring out. We've got to start ministering out. We've got to start giving out. And that life that is in us is where the dominion will originate from and operate from, because it's life that we impart that brings release, freedom. Bible tells us the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets us free from the law of sin and death. Take the situations that people are in. If they're under the law of sin and death, if they're under the bondages of sin and everything else, and if they're under other bondages of sickness and disease, that is under the law of sin and death. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets people free and releases them from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life should be in every born-again believer as a life that can be imparted the way Peter and John did at the temple gate. Silver and gold have I none. I haven't got what'll meet your physical needs, mate. But what I have, I'm going to give you. Far greater, far better. And there's a life in me that is flowing out as a river, flowing and welling up as a spring. And I'm going to impart it to you now. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You know, my challenge to you today is, we sung that song a little earlier, there's a voice of hope, the anchor for my soul. Where there seems to be no way, you make it possible. And you know, if we step out in faith and we know what God's provision is and what's made available to people in our circle of friends or people we come across, we should be able to impart the life of the Word of God, the touch of God into that situation. I would encourage you today to become a channel of God's life, a channel of that very existence of our God that's within us. Impart it into other people. Release it. It's there to be released, not to be hung on to and held within us. And I find that at the moment, God's challenging me deeply to find and tap into greater sort resources in Him that I can impart to others, to give to other people, to help set them free, not just to go through a spiel, not to give them a hope that maybe one day, or if they do this, if they do that. No, such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, be set free from the situation that you're in. And I believe as a church, we need to be far more proactive in releasing God's life into so many more situations to see men and women changed and their lives turned around from the degradation, from the falling apart, from the law of sin and death that has governed so many people over the years, to setting them free and releasing them into the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus to make them completely whole, spirit, soul, and body. Jesus said, let them have dominion. Don't let this world have dominion over you. Don't be overcome by the pressures of this life. Don't be overcome by situations that will drag you down. Don't let them have dominion over you. They can crush you. They can break you. They can pull you apart. But I tell you what, if you speak to it in the name of Jesus and you say, no, I will not let this situation dominate me or take my joy or remove my peace or give me the things that it shouldn't give me. I'm going to stand fast in the liberty where Christ has made me free. I'm not going to be tangled with a yoke of bondage. I'm not going to let something else tie me down and break my spirit and bring me into a state of despair or anxiety or everything else, because that is against what the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is meant to do in me and through me. And so, Father, I surrender it to you in Jesus' name. I give you this situation and I take control over it. I take control over my emotions. I take control over my feelings. I take control over every negative thought. And in the name of Jesus, I take dominion over every one of these things and bring them into subjection. They are under my feet. They no longer will dominate me and keep me captive. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now, that's the way we need to operate. That's the way we need to function. That's the way we need to take what God has given us and provided for us to give situations the boot that they deserve when they try to take hold of us. Let me just pray for you right now. Father, with every person living in this realm of the sound of my voice, I know, Lord God, that these pressures that are on this world at the moment are bringing people's lives under intense pressures, bringing people's lives into unfamiliar territory, causing them, Lord, to have stresses and anxieties and worries and concerns that are perhaps not normally there. Financial situations right through to work situations, to other situations of unemployment or whatever there may be. Father, we surrender it to you now in the name of Jesus. I pray for every one of your people, Lord God, that they have the revelation of the dominion that you've provided, that everyone would walk in that, exercise it, take authority over every adverse situation and surrender it to the foot of the cross, bringing it to bow down in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask today for the release of your Spirit into every life of every person listening. I pray right now, Lord God, that there would come a boldness, that there would come an intensity, Father God, that you've released into them by the power of your Spirit, that nothing should by any means hold them back or restrain them or cause them any stress, anxiety, worry, doubt, or whatever it may be. But Father God, the release of your Spirit would cause that well to spring up into everlasting life, would regenerate that well, Lord God, would cause it not just to be a well and a spring, but turn into a river flowing out that ministers to so many others. And I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. I want you to join in with this amazing song. That is a version that I heard years ago and I love it intensely.
Oh Lord my God, when I am all some wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art,
great thou art.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.
Get so emotional with that. How great thou art. What an awesome God we serve. What an amazing God we serve. Keep that in your mind. Keep that in your focus and in your attention, that we serve an eternal, everlasting, ever-loving, giving and amazing God. And he is definitely administering that new covenant to each and every one of us. You are blessed to be a blessing. And I pray your life now would be even greater in and through all that he does for you now in the name of Jesus. Bless you all.